Getting attention with your wildlife photography images. This is the Wild Eye Podcast. Hey everybody, my name is Jerry, I'm from Wild Eye, and I'm back in the Wild Eye office after an incredible trip to Svalbard. I love that place, and from both a photography and just bucket list experience type of thing, I don't think many experiences can top it. I really don't. But that's a discussion for another time. I'm thinking how I should lead this in. Maybe I should ask the question to you. What do you think it is that gets attention on a wildlife photograph? And I'm talking Instagram, Facebook, and so on. What is it that makes people stop and like it? What is it about some images that people think, oh man, that's amazing, I want to travel with that photographer who made that image? Where do we start blurring the lines? Because now we can start talking drones, you can start talking unethical behavior, but let me lead in how I got here. So a week or so ago, we were up in the Arctic and we had a quiet sailing time. So there was an area where we were just relocating to another fjord. And I was paging through a book on Arctic wildlife. So this particular photographer, a Norwegian photographer, did a book on wildlife photography in the Arctic. So it was almost like a field guide. So images of polar bear, walrus, all the types of whales, birds, and so on. Good book, very nice photographs. And I had a conversation with some of the people on board in the lounge as we were sailing about what it is that makes us pay attention to a wildlife image and how far we are going or how extreme we are starting to think as photographers in order to get attention on our images. So the book I was paging through, I should have taken a picture of it because it's actually really good. You can buy it in the bookstores in Svalbard. Is the thing that struck me is this photographer wasn't trying to be extreme. He wasn't trying to create hero shot after hero shot, different angles, funny things, or drones, or whatever it is. It was just good, solid wildlife photography. It was just documenting nature. And I paged through this whole thing, and then a little while later when I realized, I went through it again, and there's literally not one of the images in this book that was so out there that people will think, oh shit, that's amazing. It was just a good body of work. The sad thing, I think, is that online, good images don't get attention anymore because, first of all, you've got AI, which is producing stuff that nobody believes anyway. There are photographers who blur the lines between those, and some of them do it very ethically and openly, and they talk about it. There's one particular guy I'm following on Instagram who does his own photography, but then he generates AI content around it to make it look like wildlife images, but he pitches it at fine art. Wonderful, ethical, he tells us about it, that's cool, really good visuals. But then there's this other space where photographers are pushing the boundaries of what's ethical from a wildlife and a guiding point of view in order to get good images. This could include drones, it could be baiting, it could be these beetle cam things where you drive up to the animal, and then those extreme type of images get used in order for them to get attention, in order for them to, for example, run safaris or sell prints. It is the outliers. It is not normal to get those kind of images. So while I was on board, obviously signal was a bit of an issue. We don't have it on board, which is actually quite delightful. But getting back closer to East Fjorden where we get signal again, I kind of scrolled through and see what I missed. And a couple of things struck me is there's people running photographic safaris or photographic tours and wildlife photographers who are trying to pitch their work as award-winning and published and all of those kind of good things. But all the images that they share out to get attention is of the extreme nature. It's of, for example, a drone shot. And I'll tell you about a drone in Svalbard in a second. It's the trail cams, which you get these lions snarling at, and they take this very low angle of a lion standing over it, and they pitch that as this is the image that I made, come with me on a trip. Now, it's not, surely, it's not feasible, it's not practical to say, this is I did with a trail cam or with a drone or whatever the case is, come with me and you can do the same. Because then, either you're going to have six trail cams running around, or you're going to have a whole fucking squadron of drones flying around. At some stage, we are crossing the line here between what wildlife photography should be. I've said this many times before. wildlife photography should be, or a wildlife photographer should aim to, document animals in their natural environment, doing what they do naturally, whether we are there or not, and then leave without having compromised behavior. That's the North Star that I believe all of us should kind of look to. But you get these extreme things, and maybe the algorithm thinks I needed to see it. I don't know. But there was an incredible amount of these images, which is so extreme that you literally cannot get it in a group of photographers. So now you're pitching out that you're going to get this low angle, this drone, this beetle cam, this trail cam, whatever it is, type of images on a trip. I'm going to come with you, and I can't do that because we're in a group now. How does that work? Yet people are using those images to get the attention on their work instead of just creating a good, solid body of work over time and adding value to the process. I don't know where this ends, because a lot of people wanting to travel, they take a camera, they go and Google, Masai Mara photographs, and they see all these extreme examples of wildlife photography, which is not practical, and they will not be able to do it. Not because they're a bad photographer, but because that's pushing the boundary, which as an individual, you're more agile to be able to do that. But in a group of 6 or 12 people, how are you as the guide who's pitched this incredible image? And look, some of the visuals are fantastic. But how are you planning to execute on a photographic safari to make your clients get those shots and for you to live up to the promise of this is what you're going to get? But then again, some guides are just in it for themselves. They just photograph for themselves. So I'll come back to that. We had an incident in Svalbard. I don't know, it was the middle of the trip. The days all blend together. But we had a moment where we were looking at a polar bear, which was kind of hidden behind some ice. It had killed a walrus, big male, and he was behind the ice. So every once in a while, you could just see his head pop up. Now, this is about, call it 300-400 meters from the boat, from where we are. So we're up on deck, we're up on the bridge. Some people are outside in the cold, big lenses, and trying to explain it's here, it's there, this is where it's at. And every once in a while, we get a head up, so we take a picture, here it is. That's part of the fun, right? It's part of the ethical way of doing it. Anyway, so this carries on for about an hour and a half, 2 hours. We go for lunch downstairs, and then we go back up. So we are ready to do the long graph, to wait for this thing to stand up. And you know what? If it doesn't stand up and we don't get a visual, then so be it. That's nature. Anyway, we're all on the bridge and outside trying to photograph this bear. There's another vessel on the far side next to us kind of also trying to see this thing. The next minute, I'm looking through my lens, and many of our guests saw this. And suddenly, so this bear is in the ice, buried. He lifts his head. You can just see the top of his head, right? Feeding on a seal. Next minute, there's a fucking drone, not more than 5 to 7 meters from this thing. So someone from the other vessel actually flew a drone up to this animal in order to get the shots. Why? Because then you can pitch it later on for attention. The bear stood up once or twice and pulled back. He looked up at it a few times. Now, you want to argue that you didn't change that animal's behavior? That's horseshit. And more than that, it is selfish. Because apart from the people on your vessel, right? My guests were pissed. They were pissed. They knew the guiding company that was on that vessel, and there was discussions over lunch, but they were pissed. Because this drone, first of all, it's in your shots. The next moment, it's affecting the bear's behavior. Someone on that boat's flying their drone and thinking, geez, this is amazing. Look at the visuals I can get. How closed-minded are you that in a group situation where there's other people involved, right, you do that? It is selfish. It's unethical. It's just piss-poor behavior. It was shocking. And I have some of the guests who was with me on the trip, they already said, okay, they're going to stalk this photographer and the company's Instagram to see when these drone shots come up. Now, there's all kinds of regulations in Svalbard around distance from bears coming in next year and from drones. Do you know why? It's because people like this, who do things like this, fuck it up for everybody else. It's as simple as that. It really is. How selfish are you that you need to go and change an animal's behavior in order for you to get a cool visual? Why? Because then when you post it on Instagram or wherever the hell you post it, you can get the attention. People can say, oh my God, this is beautiful. Because unfortunately, a lot of people who see these wildlife images aren't photographers or nature enthusiasts. Maybe they enjoy it, but they don't understand animal behavior. They just see this image and think, this is awesome. At what cost? At what cost? And then someone like that would go and market a safari or print or a book or whatever it is against an image like that. I then sign up to go on a trip with someone like that. How can they give me that? Now I'm going to put 12 fucking drones in the air in order to get the image. And what's this bear going to do? It's like a squadron of mosquitoes coming down on this thing. It's just so broken. Hey, it's, and I think, do I blame Instagram? Sure, I can, I guess. But I think it's the ethics of the guide. If a client wants to fly a drone, you say no. Sorry, John, you can't do that. And here's the reasons why. If you're doing it while you have guests with you and they're not doing it, seriously, question why you do what you do. You're there to add value, to help people with their image, not to get images that you can get semi-viral on social media. Yes, bit of a sore point this. Bit of a sore point. Drone situation messed it up for us. We decided to leave in the end. We could have stayed there. We're on a small vessel. We were flexible enough to stay. We decided to go. Because why should we sit there, watch this unethical behavior of this poor bear being droned up close? And I've got pictures. I've got pictures of the people on the boat doing this and of the drone with the bear. Not going to go there. Not interested in that kind of discussion. Like putting shit like that online. But it's not right. And it comes from people wanting to go extreme on their images in order to get attention, in order to get the likes. What happened to good, solid photography and do it again and again and again? It's a discussion we also had on board at some stage. And we spoke about the hero shot versus just documenting, about you can't tell a single sighting story in one image. Use a monograph, do six. I've spoken about that before, right? But you get people, anybody can get lucky and get a beautiful exposure of very unique behavior. That can happen. 100% that can happen, right? But ask that person, that photographer who created that, look at their Lightroom catalog, look at their body of work over time. Are they doing it again and again and again? Just good, solid wildlife photography. Because if you're looking for someone to map yourself on, rather look for someone who's got that long-term shooting. They've paid their dues. They've learned the craft. They respect the craft. And more than that, they respect the wildlife. Drones, trail cams, all these very obscure and obscene images that we're putting out as a community in order to get attention. Where does it stop? And I'm not even talking about a photographer getting eaten by an angry lion because you got a fucking camera in his face. It's just when... breathe. It's wrong. It's not right to do things like that. If you're on your own and you're working on a project and you can somehow do it ethically in a small, just you group behavior where you're ethical, absolutely. But those kind of extreme images, the drone images, the beetle cam, it's those little cars that drives up to the lions and they snarl at it and people say, that's so amazing. And I'm saying, no, it's not natural behavior. That cat is stressed. Beetle cams, trail cams, all these kind of things, right? It's not scalable. I don't think it's scalable. You're going to start compromising not only the wildlife and the safety of you and the wildlife, but also the experience for people around you. But somehow we want that attention. Somehow we push the boundaries. It's all wrong. It's all wrong. Anyway, what do you think about this? Do you want to fly a drone? I do. The little boy inside me would love to fly a drone and to get very cool images of a polar bear from the top or from, a herd of wildebeest crossing the river. I think you could have insane visuals. Is there a way to do it ethically? Yes, I believe there is. All of those kind of things. But in certain situations, not when you're fucking up other people's experience. It's not just about you. It's not just about you. The beetle cam things never really sat with me. I'm like, meh. Because every single image I've seen from it, okay, let's be kind. 92% of the images I've seen from it, the animal is stressed. They don't look happy. But you get the extreme image, the unique angle, in order to get attention on you and your work. Guess it is what it is, hey? So I'd love to hear what you think. Let me know. Have you done that? Have you got good images ethically with a drone? Have you been on safari or in an expedition and some other idiot comes and ruins your experience because of a drone? I just think that we got to keep it basic. I'm heading off to host a photographic seminar with Andrew next week at Tabi Sabi and Mala Mala. Small group, 5 people, the 2 of us lectures every day. That's what it's about. People coming and they just want to learn photography ethically. They want to learn how to think creative. We're not going to teach them how to fly a drone. Not. Because those are extreme situations. Just to wrap, I did see in Iceland, there's a couple of operators who are starting to run drone safari, so to speak, or drone photo tours. Now, slightly different discussion, but still, I think in a place like Iceland, if you are isolated enough, if you have 5 or 6 people in the highlands of Iceland, away from everybody else, everybody's there for one reason, then you know what? I can accept that argument. Let's go and get amazing landscape images, not wildlife, landscape images. Let me teach you how to fly this thing, how to expose, what to look for from the sky, and so on and so forth. But it's still, if you do that at Jökulsárlón, which is the glacial lagoon, and there's people around, you're being an idiot. So that's what I think. Anyway, let me know your thoughts. I'd love to hear what you think. And I'll chat to you in the next episode. Thanks for listening, guys. Have a great day. My name is Jerry. I'm from Wild Eye. Bye for now.